Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bringing you the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty. This is episode 24-01, the first episode of 2024, actually the first episode in a while. And I've got a whole new podcasting rig here that will help, I think, do some pretty cool stuff. I'll explain that as we go here. But, where have I been? Well, I moved beginning of last year. Moved over here February of last year. And just really didn't have a good setup and was doing so much to keep on doing stuff for the house and working more. And I got an RV travel trailer, was doing trips and things with that, and I just stopped doing podcasts. And really, there wasn't a lot to talk about except that Joe Biden sucks. I'm going to talk about some of that today, but now that the legislative session is kicking back off again, one of the things that this show was created to do was give you the information you need by going over the bills, talking about some of the legislation that's coming forward so that you can call your legislators and be informed about the totalitarianism that they're trying to enact upon you, which seems to be what they do. If you don't know, and you'd be in a hole if you didn't know this, the Democrats have control by one vote, I believe, in the House and the Senate. So we control the governor's mansion, sort of. My unhappiness with Governor Youngkin is no secret, but he is the governor, and I doubt very much he's going to sign any of the bad gun bills, but you never know. So I'm going to talk about those and talk about a couple other things. I'm almost 50 years old, which is shocking. Now, my wife's grandfather just passed away at 99. He was born in 1924, passed away in 2024, January 1st, and lived a long life. I'll be very surprised if I make it that far. That's pretty incredible. So, almost 50 years old. It's nuts. If you want to find out more about the show, you can go to radiofreevirginia.com and check that out. The show notes are posted there, as well as links to different merch and things like that that you might be interested in. So, I guess let's get started. Now, one of the cool things about this new setup is I can bring in audio from my phone, from the computer. It's just all around pretty neat setup. I backup record to this. It's called the Rodecaster, and it lets me, it has four channels for audio, microphones or instruments or whatever, but four channels for microphones is why I got it. And this way I can do one-on-one interviews and actually have independent mix. It has four audio outputs for headphones. And then it is just all around a pretty cool setup. I can mute different things, mute different channels, and then bring stuff in. So there's a lot of great things. You know, I'll find videos, and then what I'll have to do typically is export that audio and then clean that audio up and then add it into the podcast. So I can do this on the fly now, which is kind of nice. So I can open up a bunch of tabs, queue up a bunch of videos, and then, you know, away we go. It's pretty neat. So got a couple different things going on in Virginia. The second bill that the communists have put forward is one that seeks to ban assault weapons, assault firearms, it's called. So this is by Dan Helmer, and the purchase, possession, sale, transfer, etc. This is a summary. Transfer, etc. of assault firearms and certain ammunition feeding devices prohibited. So that'd be standard capacity magazines. what they would call high capacity. I'm guessing. I haven't read through this yet. Creates a class one misdemeanor. So that's one change from the previous time when they tried to do it. Remember when there was the must have been more than 100,000 of us down in Richmond for Lobby Day when they thought that an insurrection was going to happen and it never did. Anyway, they wanted to be a felony. Well, they changed it to a misdemeanor. For any person who imports, sells, manufactures, purchases, possesses, transports, or transfers an assault firearm, as that term is defined in the bill. Now, we'll get to that. And prohibits a person who is convicted of such violation from purchasing. So once you're, if you've been convicted of this misdemeanor, you are prohibited then for transporting or purchasing a firearm for a period of 3 years from the date of conviction. The bill provides that an assault firearm does not include any firearm that is an antique firearm, has been rendered permanently inoperable, is manually operated by bolt, pump, lever, or slide action, or was manufactured before July 1st, 2024. So something different in this one, which they've not done in a lot of others, is you are grandfathered. Now, what this does is it solves that ex post facto law problem where in places like California, they just say they're banned, or Connecticut, they're banned. You can't have them. Well, that's an ex post facto law, a law after the fact. You're making somebody a criminal for something they've done after they already did it. You can't do that. It's unconstitutional. They do it all the time and people get convicted all the time and nobody ever fights it on that grounds, which is shocking to me, but that's the way it is. So the bill also prohibits the sale of large capacity ammunition feeding device, and as that term is defined in the bill. The bill provides that a person who willfully intentionally sells an assault firearm to another person, purchases an assault firearm from another person, is guilty. So if you buy or sell, you're guilty. Also with the large capacity ammunition feeding device, also called a standard capacity magazine. And the bill makes it a class one misdemeanor for any person younger than 21 of age to import, sell, manufacture, possess, transport, or transfer an assault firearm. I'm pretty sure that is already the case in Virginia. I'm pretty sure they changed the law a while ago to make it so that you couldn't get one until you're 21, what they consider an AR-15, an assault firearm. So let's look at the text of the bill. And remember, this is House Bill 2. Okay, so here's the definition of an assault firearm. And it's all the way down towards the bottom. And it's in section, hard to tell. They didn't do a good job. 18.2-308.2:2. And it's in section all the way down at, it doesn't really have they've bullet pointed these, but they haven't put separators in to be separating the bullet points. So typical, I've talked about these bills before, specifically this one years back, I think 2-3 years ago, I did a episode on this and a bill that they were putting forward and compared it to a California bill. And it was almost word for word the same. So it's not like they're original about this. The assault firearm means a semi-automatic centerfire rifle or pistol that expels a single or multiple projectiles by action of an explosion of a combustible material, that'd be a bullet, with a fixed magazine capacity in excess of 10 rounds. So they've taken out they've striked out here and is equipped at the time of the offense with a magazine which holds more than 20 rounds of ammunition designed by the manufacturer to accommodate a silencer or equipped with a folding stock. So they took that part out, which is just another, again, more scary features, right? Because you can get a rifle that takes detachable magazines, a bolt rifle that holds, I could put a 30-round magazine inside a bolt rifle. I don't know why you would, but you could. Here's number two item that defines it. A semi-automatic centerfire rifle that expels single or multiple projectiles by action of explosion of a combustible material. Let's see, that has, same old stuff. Here we go. Here are the scary features. A detachable magazine, a folding or telescoping or collapsible stock. That'd be all ARs. not necessarily the folding, but the collapsible part. A pistol grip protrudes. This is word for word the California bill and every other bill since. That protrudes conspicuously beneath the action of the rifle, and I believe the one that they tried to pass in the national at the national level. A second hand grip or protruding grip that can be held by the non-trigger hand. That'd be like a pistol grip or handle. In fact, I've got it's not a handle, but it sticks down. It protrudes conspicuously beneath the action of the rifle. So then mine, of course, would be illegal. a grenade launcher. Not too many people have those, and they don't have the grenades to go in them. So a flare launcher, a sound suppressor, a flash suppressor, that'd be every AR, a muzzle brake, some ARs, a muzzle compensator, a threaded barrel capable of accepting a sound suppressor, that's every AR, except for maybe the match grade ones that are used for competition. I very rarely ever see a AR-15 that doesn't have this, or an AK for that matter, because this is AKs. Here's another definition of a semi-automatic centerfire pistol, and it's all the same features. So they're saying that the AR pistols as well. Semi-automatic shotgun that expels, it's the same thing. Semi-automatic AR pattern shotgun. An assault firearm does not include a firearm that is an antique firearm. Has been rendered permanently inoperable or manually operated by bolt, pump, lever, slider, or was manufactured before July 1st, 2024. So, again, solve those problems. The problem is that some of these things could be semi-automatic pistols. You know, pretty much any pistol now, you can get a magazine that's 30 rounds. A lot of pistols are 17 rounds, 15 to 17 rounds. And, but you can get, like I know for the Glock, you can get readily available 30 round mags. So, depends on the locality, I guess, that you're a part of. There is a felony, there are some felony provisions in here. Any dealer who willfully or intentionally sells, rents, trades, or transfers firearms in violation of this section is guilty of a Class 6 felony. And then there's more of that in here as well. And of course, they've carved out the special class of people this provision shall not apply to. A law enforcement agency, an agency duly authorized to perform law enforcement duties, a state or local correctional facility, a private security company licensed to do business within the Commonwealth, the purchase of antique firearms. Why do they keep coming? There's a reason, and I haven't figured it out why they keep coming back to that. Antique firearms. A person whose handgun is lost or irretrievably lost or stolen, who deems it essential that such handgun was replaced immediately, such person may purchase another handgun, even if the person has previously purchased a handgun. That's, again, why is this in here? So this is about the whole one handgun a month thing. And why is this in here? You can tell that they just cut and paste a lot of this stuff from other laws, then they don't have anybody proof it so that, you know, line by line it matches up. They could shrink this bill. The text of this bill could be half the size it is. It's taking me forever to get through it. If I printed it out, it'd probably be 7 or 8 pages long. Well, so there you go. That's HB2. I'm not going to go into it more. I don't think this one's going to go anywhere. All right, this one is actually not a bad bill. HB11, you know, I don't know if you carry a knife. If you're a man, you should carry a knife. I mean, I use a knife every day, opening boxes, all the time. I use a knife. And it's nice to have a knife when I don't have a gun. At least I've got a knife. But quite often, I'm probably violating some rule or law as I'm carrying a knife because the law, knife laws are even dumber than gun laws. And this is a bill called HB11, which is carrying concealed weapons knives, clarifies the type of knives that are prohibited from being carried in a concealed manner. And And the I can't look at the text of the bill right now because the LIS website is down. It's lis.virginia.gov is where you want to go to get information about these bills. And you can search by bill topic or anything and pull it up. But basically, I've read through this one. It strikes out the thing, certain types of knives that are restricted. Most of the knives that I have are actually assisted opening. They're not automatics. So they're protected under most of this. But I do have a couple automatics where you just press a button and it and the knife opens, spring-loaded. And I'm no faster with one of those than I am with a regular knife. With an assisted opening, even a flipper that doesn't have a assisted opening, it's open within a 1 second. So what am I, 0.35 seconds with the automatic or assisted opening? It's not faster, but it's scary, you know, because it was used in movies back in the day, you know, and they had like the street sweeper shotguns and different things, and they would ban these things because they were scary. So they would stiletto and switchblade, but then they don't define what a stiletto or switchblade is in the text of the law. So it creates all this confusion. Well, what's a switchblade? Well, it's whatever we say it is. Which is, I'm sorry, if you have a halfway decent lawyer, they can get you out of that because they didn't define the terms. The terms have to be defined. You can say ignorance of the law is no excuse, but if I've read the law and I can't understand the law, that's not ignorance. That's just them writing a bad law. Let's see. We have auto. This one's funny. I love this one. The HB 22. Auto sears, prohibition on manufacture, importation, sale, etc. So what an auto sear is, there's all these devices you can 3D print or machine and make. They're federally illegal. You can't own or even make one of these. You almost can't even look at it the way the ATF is. Oh, you looked at it, you're going to jail. But you can make devices with a 3D printer. You can, if you have a machine shop and or even just a block of aluminum and a hand file, I mean, you can make things that you can put inside the AR-15. There's one called the drop-in auto sear. There's one that's kind of hard to describe, but it's basically it looks like, well, they've done it with coat hangers, but as the receiver, the bolt comes back inside the receiver in AR-15, it moves back and then it moves forward. Well, this device actually holds down the reset so that it doesn't lock back into place, and then it fires again and fires again and fires again every time it cycles. I've never played with one of these. I'm not a fan of full auto. I mean, it's fun to play with, but from a tactical standpoint, if you're shooting and moving, you're going to burn through so much ammo so fast. And it is not accurate fire. I can put accurate rounds on target semi-auto. I don't need full auto. And should I be able to have it? Yes, absolutely. I am an American. It's the Second Amendment. I should be able to have full auto if I want it, or at least select fire. You know, 3-round burst or 3-round and full auto. I should be able to have those things. I can't. Because of the ATF, because of the NRA, and yes, I said it, because they passed and allowed and compromised with the gun grabbers and the dumb bills that they wanted to pass. So that's why we have some of these laws. So this bill is an attempt to prohibits the manufacture, importation, sale, or offer to sell, possession, transfer, and transportation of an auto sear defined in this bill. So it makes it a Class 6 felony at the state level instead of having to try you in federal court, I guess. Actually, you know what? There might not be a law, an actual statute, at the federal level, because a lot of this is ATF regulation. So it's possible there's not an actual law. Now, you'll go to jail because you violated the regulations or something like that, but you won't go to jail for actually for this, is my guess. But you'd have to look into that. Like I said, I don't care. I mean, it's not a thing for me. But this is a bad bill, HB 22. You can never let them have 1 inch. They can't have an inch. They're not allowed to have an inch. They get nothing. You lose. HB 16 firearm or explosive material carrying within the Capitol Square and the surrounding area. So Tom Garrett, remember Tom? Tom, there's a few legislators in Richmond and elsewhere that are patriots, fighters. You know, Nick Freitas, Bill Stanley. and this guy, Tom Garrett. Now, he's a delegate now. He was a state senator. He was a state senator, went up to Congress. He's had some problems in his life with alcoholism. And as far as I know, he's gotten his stuff together. Came back as a state delegate. So he put this bill forward, carrying a firearm or explosive material in the Capitol Square. Explosive material means bullets. Into a building owned or leased by the Commonwealth, exception for concealed handgun permit holders. This is a good bill. I don't know that it'll go anywhere because of the who controls the House. Typically what they do, they have these committees they create. They're called the Death Star Committee. That's what the VCDL, Virginia Citizens Defense League, calls them. They call them the Death Star Committee. And that's where good bills go to die. And they just push, they continue to shuffle the bills around. They go, wait a minute, this should be in laws and courts. And then they push it over and they go, oh, wait a minute, this should be over in justice. And they push it, and they push it around in all these committees until the legislative session is over. But what this would do is reinstitute the ability for a concealed carry holder who statistically actually commit less crime than cops, concealed carry holder to carry within the Capitol. And this would let me go back up to the Capitol and lobby on lobby day, because I'm not going up there unarmed. I'm not going to do it. If I wanted to hear the speeches, I would have to stand on the street. I could not go into the park because then I would be breaking the law. So this is good. That's a HB 16. And there's other good bills that Tom has put forward because he fights. You know, that's all we ask. Go up and do your job, man. Go up and fight for your constituents. HB 46, firearm transfer to another person from a prohibited person. I'm not going to read the summary because basically what this law is if somebody becomes prohibited, let's say that they've got a restraining order out against them, they've been convicted of a felony, whatever. This lets you lets them transfer those firearms to another non-prohibited person. And it explains how the law is. A lot of times what they'll do is automatically go and seize everything. Just go take it all. And so this prevents that from happening. It's a good bill. And that's Elizabeth Bennett-Parker. Bennett is hyphenated. Bennett-Parker. Usually when you see that, that means it's a Democrat. But in this case, it's not. Because this is a decent bill. They don't put decent bills up. Final bill that we're going to talk about today is HB 20, photo speed monitoring devices. Authorizes the governing body of any county, city, town. Cause right now, it's you got to get special approval for these from the state level to by ordinance for the placement of operation of photo speed monitoring devices in any location deemed necessary by the locality for the purposes of recording violations resulting from the operation of it. So they don't want their cops to actually have to do their job and actually do this. So if you see these things, I'm not going to suggest what you should do to them. But these things, if they ever start popping up in your community, you should never allow this. This is, to me, this is the height of tyranny. These things should go away. I'll leave that to you to decide how you want to go make them go away. Lobbying, talking to your legislators, whatever you choose. Patriot stuff. They need to go away. These devices shouldn't exist anywhere at all. It should not be legal. All right, I have an article here to share, and this is from a website called Virginia Mercury. Virginia cake pop maker battles state regulators for right to post pics on Instagram. So she makes these cake pops, and they look like little cows and pigs and sheep and really cute, and then goes to, you know, fairs and whatnot. So the gist is that in Virginia, the health department says it's okay if you're going to go to a farmer's market and sell these, but you know some other place is not a farmer's market. It's so stupid. But just before Thanksgiving, Richmond area cake pop maker Kelly Phillips spent a Friday night preparing a batch to sell at the holiday market featuring local handmade goods, and she put a picture up on her website. What can I say? I like to party and lead a thrilling life, she joked about her self-described side hustle. She's joking because you'd think that the way that the state responded, the way the locality responded, you'd think she was, you know, out dealing drugs or something. She had no idea her cake pops were about to land her on the wrong side of the law. On December 1st, a food safety official informed her she was operating her cake pop venture without the necessary permit from the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Failure to rectify the situation, the official said, could lead to a misdemeanor charge. I mean, seriously, a misdemeanor? My first thought was a curse word, Phillips 40 said in an interview. It was just devastation. I was like, why is this happening? The cake pop kerfuffle. I love when writers use great words. This is great. Kerfuffle. It's one of my favorite nonsense words. Spotlights the finer points of Virginia's food safety regulations, which are meant to protect the public from consuming potentially unsafe products prepared in an unsanitary condition. Those rules include an exception allowing small entrepreneurs to make low-risk foods like baked goods, which she's making, in their kitchens and sell them directly from home or at a farmer's market. The law prohibits uninspected goods from being offered for sale over the internet, which she's not doing, or in interstate commerce, which she's not doing. She was saying, hey, I'm going to be at this thing, and here's a picture. That is not selling them over the internet. Phillips VDAX said in its letter, I think I mentioned, of Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, said in its letter it was a violation of rules on uninspected products by having a booth at a craft show instead of a farmer's market and promoting her cake pops, cocoa bombs, candy nuts, and other goods on social media. Now, I haven't found yet where she lives because this does matter. I mean, you do this around here in the central part of Virginia. I don't know. You might get less trouble than you would, say, Alexandria or Fairfax or Henrico or one of these other places. Sorry if you live there, but you know what I'm talking about. In an email, VDAC spokeswoman Shelby Crouch indicated there are regulatory distinctions between different types of events, adding that special events like holiday markets may be under Virginia Department of Health jurisdiction. State oversight of food preparation and sales is split between VDAC and the health department. Oh my gosh. This is so ridiculous. This is the kind of stuff where this is what frustrates me about Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin should have people that see a story like this and immediately call and tell them, knock it off. You're all going to lose all of your money. I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to fire every single one of you. What are you doing, cake pops? This is not the intent of any of the law. In fact, if you read the law, it's very specific. That's where 50% of my business comes from, Phillips said, insisting that she only uses her online presence to post photos and menus and let people know when and where her baked goods will be available. So she's not violating the law because she is not selling things over the internet. After hearing from VDAX, Phillips shut down her booth at the craft fair and went mostly silent on social media, but she sought help to put... No, she shouldn't have not have done that. Okay, here, I'm getting closer to where she is, I think. In a recent letter to VDAX, Phillips' behalf, the Institute for Justice, an Arlington-based law firm that focuses on civil libertarian causes, including battles over homemade or cottage food industries, called Virginia's policy breathtaking and unconstitutional. Yeah. So she's contacted an Arlington group. Still really curious where she is, how it got to these knuckleheads, because they're not trolling social media. And obviously somebody is up there. Somebody has nothing better to do than do that. After being forwarded the law firm's letter, VDAC sent Mercury a statement that seemed to reverse the agency's previous determination that a ban on online sales extended to online advertising. Yeah, here's where we go. You have to understand the law, and everything is defined in the law. It is very specific. I'm not a lawyer, but if you read the law, it's very clear. It's very defined. And if it's not defined, it's irrelevant. It's vague. They can't just make some giant vague statement. Exempted products may be promoted or advertised online so long as these products are not being offered for sale over the internet. Sometimes it can be difficult to assess whether a product is being offered for sale online or is being advertised over the internet. If there has been any confusion, we hope this clarifies regarding the promotion of products sold on social media, products on social media, when these products are not being offered for sale online. So they walked it back by the sound of it. Phillips said she can't resolve the issue by getting the food safety permits. VDAC said she needs because she has dogs and a house with an open floor plan. That setup, she said, makes it impossible to comply with the rule requiring food preparation area, her kitchen, to be completely enclosed from pets. And that's kind of gross, though. Yeah, I don't want your dog hair in my cake pops. I'm sure it's fine. It depends. Is this cats or is this, it sounds like dogs? But, you know, yeah, she has dogs. So I don't know. Dogs probably be okay. Cats, no. To add hinged doors or walls in order to have that would cost me more than I would make making cake pops for the next 5 years. This is the regulatory nonsense that we as citizens have to go through is absurd. And the more we comply and put up with this crap and tell them to give them the finger and say, I'm not doing it and continue to sell, take me to jail. This was my attitude I had all throughout COVID. You can take me to jail. I'm not going to comply with your stupid vaccines or any of this other garbage. I will not comply. No. Finally, did you listen to Bumbles in his speech the other day? I bet you didn't. I was driving down the road and it came on, and it was Angry Joe. The Joe who is like, saving lives. You know that Joe? Well, they pumped him up with amphetamines or whatever it is they're doing. They're clearly juicing that guy when they want him out there. So, let's see. Our campaign, and he's talking about, so this has been a big campaign push, like Donald Trump's evil insurrectionists, blah, blah, blah. And our campaign is about preserving and strengthening our American democracy. 3 years ago tomorrow, we saw with our own eyes the violent mob storm the United States Capitol. It was almost in disbelief as you first turned on the television. For the first time in our history, insurrectionists had come to stop the peaceful transfer of power in America. First time smashing windows, shattering doors, attacking the police. Actually, it's not the first time. If you look back, the Democrats have done this a lot. They have rioted a lot. They have broke things a lot. They have smashed windows a lot. They've done this. They have attacked police a lot. So this idea that, you know, in fact, they did this recently. It was, I think, a year ago. It was in Minnesota or something. And they did this. Outside gallows works. I'm going to go about truth and lies. Outside gallows were erected as the MAGA crowd chanted, hang Mike Pence. True and false. They did erect a gallows. They did yell, hang Mike Pence, but it wasn't near the gallows. So, and Mike Pence was, you know, he had the power to shut this down, and he's part of the group. You know, he's part of the scheme. And he said, no, we're not going to look at these election anomalies and put a pause on this and demand this. And, you know, there were various things Mike Pence could have done that would have given the presidency to Trump, and he didn't do it, and he could have done it, but he didn't do it. And so what do we do to traitors? Well, they're executed. That's what should happen to traitors. So I don't know. Is he? I didn't get a trial, so I don't know. But so inside they hunt. This is a lie. Inside they hunted for the speaker. For Speaker Pelosi, the House, and was chanting as they marched through and smashed windows. Again, the smashed windows. Where's Nancy? All right, there is zero video of this. Zero. Zero video or audio of this happening anywhere. And if it had happened, there would be video and audio of this. I guarantee it. There were over 20 that we know of, as many as 200 federal undercover agents in there. And so, come on. This one's another lie. Over 140 police officers were injured. Jill and I attended the funeral of a police officer who died as a result of the events of that day. No, he had a heart attack. He would have had a heart attack anyway, whether or not he was there. And that's why he died. And I'm not even sure he went to the funeral, to be honest. I don't think he did. He's such a liar. You can't believe anything he says. Every other word out of his mouth is a lie. And because of Donald Trump's lies, they died because these lies brought a mob to Washington. The lies he's talking about was that the election was stolen, that they were at all these election anomalies. And, you know, they're right about one thing. I think he talks about this, that not one court case was in his favor. That's because they shut all the court cases down. They said he didn't have standing, or this person doesn't have standing, and they shut all these things down. The information that, you know, you all and I have read that says, hey, this was the fix was in, they didn't get to look at that. So he promised it would be wild, and it was. He told the crowd to fight like hell, and hell was unleashed. I don't think he said that, because he very specifically said march peacefully to the Capitol, peacefully. And you had agent provocateurs in the mix causing problems. Now there is video of a lot of glass breaking and people charging through and some other things. But there's also video of police escorting people through and people just walking through the Capitol like no big deal. So they've got both sides of this. As America was attacked from within, Donald Trump watched on TV in the private small dining room of my Oval Office. The entire nation watched in horror. The whole world watched in disbelief, and Trump did nothing. Actually, I'm pretty sure that Trump authorized the use of the National Guard, and Nancy Pelosi said, nah, we don't need it, because that would have solved some problems. I guarantee it. They didn't want it. They wanted this, what do they call it, a goat rope? Buffalo jump. They wanted this buffalo jump to happen. Members of his staff, members of his family, Republican leaders who were under attack for the at the very moment pled with him, act, call off the mob. Imagine if he had gone out and said stop. And still, Trump did nothing. It was among the worst derelictions of duty by a president in American history, an attempt to overturn a free and fair election by force and violence. It wasn't free, wasn't fair, it was full of fraud. And when there's nothing left to a citizen, then all there is left is violence. Violence solves problems. Violence solves lots of problems. What are you talking about? I don't know that it solved any problems here, but, you know, violence does solve problems. A record 81 million people. I love this one. There's no way you'll ever convince me. A record 81 people voted for my candidacy and to end his presidency. Trump lost the popular vote by 7 million. There is no way you will convince me that 81 people voted for that doddering basement dweller, Joe Biden. There's no way. I will go to my grave not believing that 81 people voted for that guy. No way. Trump claims about the 2020 election could never stand up in court. Trump lost 60 court cases. 60. I don't know if that's true. But he did lose those court cases. Trump lost whatever court cases did go forward. He did lose, and that was because they wouldn't. They would just throw him out. They would just not. You don't have any case here. There's no standing on it. They wouldn't hear any of the merits of the case. Not one where they let any of the merits go forward. It was always some legal wrangling joke of a reason why we're not going to talk about this. Trump lost before a Trump-appointed judge and then judges, and Trump lost before the United States Supreme Court. All of it he lost. Trump lost recount after recount and state after state, but in desperation and weakness, Trump and his MAGA followers. Now, see, I love the pejorative because it doesn't bother me. Make America great again, followers. I mean, I don't mind people calling me that. I'm not really a Trump guy. I would say I'm a MAGA guy, but I'm not a Trump guy. I mean, I'll vote for Trump, but I'd rather it be someone else, to be honest. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all the nonsense, having to listen to all, just from both sides. I'm sick of it. In Atlanta, Georgia, a brave black mother and her daughter, Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, were doing their jobs as elected workers, until Donald Trump and his MAGA followers targeted and threatened them, forcing them from their homes and unleashing racist vitriol on them. Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, was just hit with a $148 million judgment for cruelty and defamation that he inflicted on them. That's because none of the cases could go forward. So then when it was all said and done, everything he said was a lie because he wasn't allowed to plead that case in a court. And then the jury, found that he was going to have to pay $148 million to these two people, now, which he doesn't have, so it's kind of funny. $148 million is, they don't, you, if I go out and I wrongfully shoot someone, don't convict, let's say I don't go to jail, but then they sue me, I might get $5-10 million judgment put against me. It's not going to be $148 million. He didn't even kill people. He's got $148 million. Come on. Other state and local elected officials across the country face similar personal attacks. In addition, Fox News agreed to pay $787 million for the lies they told about voter fraud. Again, there's video of people hacking Dominion voter machines. Video. But yet they were not allowed to show that evidence. And then said, so as a result, yeah, you lied about us. Dominion voting machines. Let's be clear about the 2020 election. Trump exhausted every legal avenue available to him to overturn the election. Everyone. But the legal path just... And I'm reading this instead of listening, having you listen to that doddering idiot, because no one wants to listen to him. But the legal path just took Trump back to the truth that I had won the election and he was a loser. Well, knowing how his mind works now, he had won. He had one act left, one desperate act available to him, the violence of January 6th. And since that day, more than 1,200 people have been charged for the assault on the Capitol. Nearly 900 of them have been convicted or pled guilty. Collectively to date, they have been sentenced to more than 840 years in prison. Let me tell you why Trump needs to win the presidency. This is why. Because Trump needs to win the presidency because he needs to commute and pardon every single one of these people. Every single one. Now, should you have to go to jail for 10 or 20 years because you broke a window at the Capitol? These people that destroyed whole cities on Antifa's side, many of them have never been convicted. Most of them will not see more than a year in jail. And yet, because it's supposedly, you know, seditious conspiracy, all these scary words, because they can just lump all this stuff in here, you know, it's American Gulag. So I have one that I've tracked down. His name is Stuart Rhodes. Some of you know him as the guy who founded Oath Keepers. He didn't even go into the Capitol that day. And they convicted him, and he is currently sitting in prison. Prison in Maryland. If you're close, I believe you can go visit. I'm not close. Wouldn't mind going up and visiting. Be fun to take a group of people up. But in any case, who knows if I'd even be allowed to see him because of the way they've got this gulag set up. So, if you want to send a letter to him, you can find the information in the show notes. Send him a card. Say, hey, man, I'm sorry this is happening to you. You can send him money to his, there's a process to, and I'll put all this up on the show notes. There's a process to send money to his commissary account to let him buy snacks and whatever. So it's FCI Cumberland, Federal Correction Institution, P.O. Box 1000, Cumberland, Maryland, 21501, Elmer Stewart Rhodes is his name, 819-81-509 is his prisoner number, and I've got a card ready to go for him. And you can't send cash. You have to, there's a process. You have to send a money order to I'll have the stuff in the show notes about how to do it if you want to send him something. Should be much easier, frankly. You should just be able to go online, clickety click, and there you go. But of course, they've made it complicated and inefficient because it's the government. I'm not going to continue to read Bumble's speech. He continues to drone on and on about all this stuff. And everything, you know, I was listening to and I'm laughing the whole time because he's such a liar, and this propaganda is just so silly. The, you know, where's Nancy? And I guess that's about it for today. So we're the show's back. I'll be doing lots more digging into bad legislation and stupid things that politicians in Virginia are doing. We'll go ahead and wrap it up here, I think, for this episode. There's a bunch of stuff I want to cover in the coming weeks. Lots of international stuff, you know, but I want to focus on some ham radio things, some communication stuff. I haven't talked about that in a while. And but the big thing is we got to focus on these bills that they're working on up in Richmond, and shut them down when we can, and support them when we should. Thank you for listening. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.